Keep it real simple. Keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Come on, Simple Church, give it up for that band. Come on. Man, I'm telling you, that's some good stuff, son. That slide guitar, son. Man, my boy D-Nice bringing them vocals, son. And Larry on the drums. This is last Sunday today. Give Larry some love. Moving down to Orlando with Luana. I get to do their wedding here in about a couple of weeks, so I'm excited about that. But we're going to miss them, man. But just want you to know, man, they do it all, obviously, for the honor of God, to give him glory, but to make sure that you know we get to do that together. And without this band, it just ain't the same. So give them a little love one more time. Come on. Good, man. Welcome to the board game series. Don't forget there are seminars available. Right after this service, there will be some seminars that you can do, but Brian Reed is going to be talking about first steps. Take about 15, 20 minutes, give you a little encouragement and try to help you on this idea of how to take the first step. How do you follow God and what does that look like? So Brian Reed will be talking about that right after this service. Just make sure you go out in that lobby and they'll direct you. Also, make sure you pack, help us pack a little backpack for these kids that are hungry in our schools. We'd love for your help out there. When you go outside, make sure you see that in the second part. Hall 2 is actually where you'll be going. My daughter out there is coordinating that, so make sure you go out there and give her a little love and help them out as well. All right, so we're in this series called Board Games. Today's game is a game most people do not play, but our family plays at least once a year. It is the game Risk. Anybody ever played that game before? Be honest. Very few people, a couple people in here, but here's the truth. When I ask people around, they're like, nah, I never really played it, you know. We play it every year when we go to the beach. Now, this year we didn't go to the beach, but when we go on vacation, we get down there and we enjoy this time because it can be played over the whole week if you want to. But here is a picture of what we have to do. We take this. This is actually from one of the condos we stayed in. And the reason we have to take that picture is because they say this pastor cheats. Pray for me. I'm going to tell you right now. So my kid's like, take a picture of the board because dad's going to come in here at night and take over countries while we're sleeping. They don't know me that well, all right? But here's the truth. When we play this game, no one has ever won. We've been playing for like 6-7 years. Every year we go down there, we play a new game, we start over, and no one wins. And you go, why don't we win? I think it's because we're too conservative. No one really wants to go for it. So the first thing I want you to remember, I put on the screen for you, is the reason none of us win is because no one will risk. The truth, the game is called Risk. But my people are so sweet, so kind, Angie's so loving. I don't want to take over their country. I'm like, that's the point of the game. So she'll be looking at him, oh, you go, you know, whatever. Can I give you some of my men or whatever? I'm like, Angie, you're sweet, but the point is to win. And in this game of life that we're in, we understand this, particularly in the American culture. As a matter of fact, we love risk takers so much that we call them heroes. Many of these people that we look up to when it comes to pushing all the chips in, going for it, are some of the greatest risk takers of all time. I've got a few that I've pulled on and put the screen up for you. This is one, Harriet Tubman. My wife and I watched the video, a movie called Harriet. And I'm telling you, it was powerful to be reminded of all of the risks that this woman took so that slaves could be free and be protected. If you've never seen the movie, it's a tough, powerful movie, but you're going, man, look at the risk this lady took. So one of my favorites now is Harriet, but let me give you another, my brother's favorite. This guy right here, you may recognize him. Anybody know who that is? Henry Ford, son, this is the guy who created the car. The reason I say he's my favorite, my brother loves cars, so without Henry, he don't get to enjoy all the things he's really so passionate about. He's got a life group around cars because this is a big deal. Henry had to take a lot of risk to build the car, to start the industry. Then here's another one. You probably know who this is. Anybody know who that is? Amelia Earhart, of course, man. This is why we can fly. We can enjoy flight. It's people are pushing the edges of what they can accomplish. And then when you think of, you know, this whole idea of what Amelia did, this is one that old people, you should recognize. Old people, who is that? Everybody's like, oh, no, Neil Armstrong, the guy who got on the moon. This is the beginning of risk-taking. So as you start going through, there are all people in our culture that we go, man, that's a hero. That's somebody who went for it, including this guy right here. Look at this right here. You talking about risk-taking? This is the first guy ever to free climb, no ropes, no nothing, on these mountains, on these, it's called the Dawn Wall out there in one of our national parks. It's unbelievable what they do. But let me tell you one everybody's going to know. When you're talking about risk takers, anybody remember this cat right here? Come on, son. Come on, Evel Knievel. Y'all may not know who the guy climbing the wall is, but you're like, man, Evel Knievel, that's my guy. But let me tell you what happened with Evel. Y'all already know, man, he was a risk taker. But he set up future generations to do stuff just like this. I love the X Games, and if it wasn't for Evel Knievel, I'm not even sure they would exist. And here's one of my favorites. The first time ever, pushing the limits, going for it. My boy Travis, watch this.
Guys, we've been hearing all these rumors that Travis is going to go for something huge. Body armor on Trav. All signs point to a double. Are we going to see it?
The problem is if you crash, you die. Well, not die, but you're not going to be happy about it. So, Dad, it's okay. Mom, stop crying.
Mom, I love you. If anything goes wrong, I'm just out here to live my life and have fun. How do you say that to your mom, Trav?
Actually, you know, I feel really confident about it. It's just if it goes wrong, it goes really wrong. So, we'll see.
Now, this is what's crazy. You heard him. One of my favorite parts of that video is he grabs his mom. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry. Because you know they're going for things no one has ever done. This was in 2006. That was the first time anybody had ever done a double backflip on a motorcycle. Well, you look at what's going on now. It's just continually pushing the envelope. More risk after more risk. In American culture, that's what we do. That's why we have heroes. That's why we celebrate it. We even developed phrases in America. And here's a little T-shirt they've created. You got to risk it for the biscuit. Anybody heard that? Well, you're like, I never heard that before. Well, let me tell you why it became popular. Because in now, football season's right around the corner. Last football season, there is a famous old coach by the name of Bruce Arians. And listen close and watch close because you may remember he's the one who won the Super Bowl last year. Watch this.
Popular motto, you risk it for biscuit. Which originated right from Joe Namath?
Not really from Joe. It's I'm trying to think. I can never remember which coach said that to me, but I kind of live life that way. You know, I try to hit every par five and two, and I put a lot of balls in the water. But it's, if you don't try to hit it, you're never going to hit it. And I want to reach for greatness. If you don't reach for greatness, you'll be average the rest of your life.
And why do you feel like that? I mean, that phrase seems to resonate with a lot of people. Why do you think that is?
I don't. It's just the way I've lived my life. And probably way too many riskets, but we got a few biscuits.
So. All right, so in our culture, you see, this is a huge part. We even come up with a phrase that you're more familiar with. If you don't know no risk it, no biscuit, you understand this phrase, when it is no risk, no reward. This is the way we live. It is a part of our culture. Matter of fact, last week we were at Splash Kingdom. Here is your pastor right here. No risk, no reward. Boom! Anybody go down the yellow slide that's above 50 in here? You didn't risk it and you didn't get the reward. You're like, the reward? What a bloody elbow. No, of the fun of catching some air on the second hump, you know. But most people are like, I ain't going to do that. Well, I'll give you another picture. I can look back at my life. Kelly, one of my dear friends, it's not just yellow slides. It's jumping out of airplanes. Anybody jumped out of an airplane before? Yeah, of course. You go, man, there's nothing quite like that. It is an experience unlike anything else. Was I scared to death? Absolutely. But no risk, no reward. You get the reward of experiencing something very few people have got to experience. I can also remember the first time I saw my lovely bride. I said, woo, if I don't go try to talk to her, no risk, no reward. And so guess what happened? I risked it, and here's what happened. We go down to Mexico, and look at her hugging up on Daddy 24 years ago. Why? Because we went for it. And here's the phrase that I want to get you, and then I'm going to pull you right in the scripture, and I'm going to challenge you with this very challenging subject today. The greatest opportunities in life will require the greatest risk. Please remember this. If you want to accomplish something, if you want to see something, if you want to experience life at its greatest, you have to be willing to risk. This is a biblical principle that I have experienced some in my life. Not a lot, but some. And the reason that I have not experienced it as much as I want to is because, just like you, we cling to comfort. You don't want to risk it because it's easier sitting out in the lounge chair, you know, the lounge chair, sitting there watching people go down the slide. You're like, well, I don't really want to do that. Or you have the person that you want to talk to, you single out there, and you're like, well, I just don't think I'll really risk that. It could be anything, jumping out of a plane, experiencing things, because we love our comfort, and we're real settled in that. As a matter of fact, here's a picture from a favorite TV show. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Many of us would choose to get into comfort of our lives and stay there. And here's the truth that I am learning and looking at my life. The more comfortable you are, the harder it is to risk. And Jesus knew it. So what did he do? He challenged us with phrases like this. Are you ready? Matthew 10:39. If you cling to your life, you know how it is, man. You're like, oh, I got to hold on. I don't know if I can do this. You will. What's this little phrase? You're going to lose it. But if you give it up for me, you'll save it. See, here's what happens in the Christian world. Christians are notorious for loving our comfort. That is why we complain about everything. The room's too cold, the room's too hot, the chair's too soft, the chair's too hard, it's too far to walk. We go through all of these scenarios when we talk about Christians in general. How many mission trips you've been on? How many times you've gone out of your comfort zone, whether that's into a neighborhood you're not familiar with or another part of the world? Most people don't, because they're going, man, I just want to stay right here. And especially as things get more and more challenging, what does everybody do? Oh, I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I just need to stay in my comfort zone. My first experience with this battle was many years ago, about 24 years ago. I had never been personally out of the country ever in my life. And where I was deciding to go, I did not speak the language. And then to make it even riskier, I took 25 to 30 teenagers in vans that looked like this right here. So if you're going, that dude is crazy. Yes, because my very first risk it for the biscuit moment, risk it for the reward moment, was trying to go to Mexico. Not just across the border like we do now in Juarez, which is right across El Paso. You're pretty close. You're like, well, we can see America from there. I could run back across if I had to. You couldn't, but it's something that you feel good about that. 24 years ago, I got in this van with 25, 30 teenagers and drove over 16 hours from Bossier City down to Parras de la Fuente, 8 hours into the heart of Mexico. And you're going, well, where is that? That's how long the journey is. Now, I don't know if you can tell or not, but it is deep into Mexico. And why in the world would I risk it to do this? Because we were going to do puppets, y'all. That was worth the risk. Anybody remember puppet ministry? 24 years ago, it was cutting edge. Yeah, I'm just kidding. It was not. But we were going to take puppets, and we were going to speak Spanish, which I did not speak Spanish. And we were going to love on people and try to help the orphans in Parras de la Fuente. You like the way I put that little Mexicano on that? That's the only Spanish I got because I didn't have much. But let me tell you the other risk. What you don't know about Angie, more than likely, is that she is fluent in Spanish. So the risk for me when I talk about meeting my wife and taking her, this is the first trip we ever went on, was we went on a mission trip together. I'll pull the picture up for you. This is us with the orphans. We were making bricks to build houses with, but that picture was snapped. And let me tell you something, for us, if you were to ask Angie, if you were to ask me, there is something special about it. We put all of the risk in. We were going for it. There were a few adults that decided to go with us. Thank you, Bo and Donna Ratcliffe and the Mazes Carlos and Loopy. Carlos, God bless you. He's in heaven now. You think of all of these, a few leaders were like, I'll go with you. We'll risk it down there. But the kids are like, let's go for it. And then guess what? When we risked it, we were very much rewarded. One of my favorite places in the world is Paras. Let me tell you why. It's because as I go into that moment, you're talking about clinging to your life, and I'm going to hold on to it. Jesus was saying, man, if you cling to it, you're going to lose it. But boy, if you'll be willing to risk it, you will experience, you will see things, you will be at a level no one else truly understands until they've risked it. I snapped this picture of my beautiful bride when we were there. Obviously, she is in the foreground, stunning still to this day, but this is 24 years ago. But what you don't see is back in the back, there's a little church up on the rock. It's called Church on the Rock in Paras. And it's a Catholic church, but this is where we fell in love. I looked at her and she looked at me and we said, I think I'm going to go ahead and marry you. This was our first trip. We'd never been anywhere together. And everybody's like, you're crazy. I'm like, hey, I'm going to push all the chips in, baby. And guess what happened? I risked it, and here's the next picture for you. Boom! So you go, Justin, what are you really talking about? Well, let me just tell you. That was a beautiful, powerful moment that changed my life because I risked it to ask her to be a translator. We risked it to go that far into Mexico to take the kids. But let me tell you, one of the most powerful spiritual moments of my life was on that trip. And you go, well, what do you mean, Justin? Let me show you the next picture. It's not me or Angie. Probably tired of seeing that, but let me show you this. This is Dr. Clint Wilson. Now, he's over here, read the music. And Stuart Thompson. At the Church on the Rock, they begin to play a worship song. They begin to play his trumpet that he brought from Airline High School. And we worship the Lord on top of this rock. And as the music was echoing out into this beautiful landscape, I was reminded over and over again, what if I stayed home? What if I stayed on the couch? What if I stayed in the comfort of my chair? What if I said it's too much to risk? I can't do it. Well, then the orphans don't get fed. The orphans don't get the gospel presented. As bad as we were at puppets, that's how we presented the gospel. And then in this moment, Stuart, after he played that horn, he went and took that horn and placed it on the altar. Now, I don't know if you know anything about this, but as a parent, when you see your child give everything they have, there's something powerful about that. Well, Stuart's not my child, but on that trip, I considered him one, trying to protect him, to watch over him. But I saw him take that horn, and he put it on the altar at this church, and then he walks out of the church, and I'm like, hey, Stuart, go pick up your horn, dog. He's like, I'm never playing that horn again. That's the Lord's horn now. And I was like, Stuart, that's really cool. But when you get home, your daddy's going to say, the Lord needs that horn back. Because this guy has paid for that $400 horn or $500 horn, and I'm not going to do all that. Stuart said, I'll risk whatever I got to risk with my dad, with my mom, but I know what I'm supposed to do. And I learned a lesson from a teenager. I experienced something because of a teenager. Because he was willing to risk it to go on the trip. He was willing to risk it and give Jesus everything he had, including his prized possession of his trumpet. Looking back over my life, I can tell you this. As I was taking risk, as I was learning that as a young man, it is very rewarding, particularly when it comes to the area of missions. When you talk about risking it, for me, as a pastor, I cling to comfort. I like America. I'm not big on going outside of the country. I like everything to be done right. I want to stay at the nice places. I don't want to have to go into the rough places. But as I begin to say, hey, I'll do it for you, Lord, whatever you ask us to do. First time we went to Haiti, we go to Haiti. Right now, y'all know we're raising money for it. Where my cousin's going to be driving some medical supplies down. Dr. Keith Scott's around to help us as we work with the people of Haiti. Mark Stewart and Will McGinnis from Audio Adrenaline, we partner with them. We're just trying to figure out what we can do to help. And one of the reasons why is every time we were risking for someone else, man, God was blessing us with something in return. Many of you have never been in a cave in Haiti. Well, we have, and here's a couple of pictures just to let you know. This is Bill walking down as we go into this. And you go, well, that's not that impressive. But look at the next picture as we got to go inside, because right there where the earthquake hit, this is where we were standing inside the cave, inside of an amazing view in Haiti. And I'm thinking, wow, I've never seen anything like this. And some of y'all are thinking, wow, if you'd have been there when that earthquake hit, you'd have been dead. But let me tell you something. No risk, no reward. If I cling to my life, then I never have it. And in that moment when we got down there, this is Kenneth, my friend, and they were just going, man, this is amazing. So this past week, I actually talked to Kenneth, and he was like, man, thanks for coming down here. Thanks for risking it. Man, thanks for helping us even now. And I'm going, what about these relationships? What about these moments? If I had never been, I'd never experience it. We've also gone to Honduras. You know this, but let me just show you a picture. You're like, what does this look like? Well, here we are on a boat going out into the ocean. You're like, why are you going there? Well, they told us there's a place called Snake Island. I hate snakes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, you got to go to Snake Island. It's unbelievable. I'm like, Snake Island in Honduras? I don't think so. Well, when we pull up, I think you'd want to be on Snake Island. There it is. It's where they filmed European Survivor that year. So all of the crews there filming the European television show Survivor. And I'm going, what if we stayed back at the shore? We snorkeled all around this beautiful thing. We saw unbelievable things, octopus. Man, we saw crazy things. And I'm thinking, man, what if I stayed in my comfort zone? What if I never went out of the country? Not to mention all the spiritual stuff, which I'm getting to in a minute, but just go with me for a minute. Then we went to Africa. You go, well, Justin, what was that like? Well, we get to Africa and giraffes are trying to get into our pictures. You ever had a giraffe in your picture? Have you ever grabbed a giraffe by the neck? I have. Look here, right there. There he is. No risk, no reward. Stay home. Stay comfortable. You just do what you want. Go get in your little house, find your little place, and go, okay, God, I guess this is all it is for me. Oh, my gosh, God, I can't do anything. I'm not going to go anywhere. The last trip we went on before the pandemic really shut all travel down was to Guatemala with a bunch of college baseball players to do events all around Guatemala. In case you have forgotten, this is what it looked like as we wrapped up our trip. They said, hey, you want to go on top of a volcano and roast marshmallows? Sign me up. Watch.
This is kind of stuff like your parents, like, of course, now Ramen here. They look at you and go, you did what?
Look at that right there.
Roasted marshmallows on a volcano.
Now just think for a second. They said, hey, you can go up here if you want to. Barry, you can stay down at the bottom. And this is from an iPhone that I took. Those are our kids. And I stood there like, God, what a gift you've given us. And all of these amazing experiences, there's nothing quite like seeing God work, though. All of the trips, all of the snorkeling, we've done zip lines, we've been on volcanoes, but let me tell you something. That stuff is small in comparison to seeing God work, solving problems, loving people. And let me just remind you, in Haiti, this is what drove us when we saw Ronaldson drinking out of an oil can. And I came back and said, would you risk it and give a little money and put a little time into? And then we took water bottles to change that around to where all of those kids down in Lakai and that whole area, which right now is hit by the tropical storm now, just came through an earthquake. Those kids, I'm not sure if even Ronaldson is alive at this point. Am I praying for it? Absolutely. But you know where I take some comfort? Is that we've got to present the gospel. We got to love on him. He got to know Jesus as a result of the sacrifices of men and women just like you. We go to Honduras, and you think, man, what have you done down there? It takes sacrifice to be able to drill water wells and give a little time. But you know what's so rewarding is when you look around, and this turns into the next picture of where people are standing on the well praising God because they have water that they did not have. Well, you had to risk it to go. You had to risk it to spend the money. You had to risk it to be a part of it. But what if you didn't? In the name of Jesus, you're spreading love. You're solving problems. You're loving on people, and they celebrate. And what about Africa? When you feed children like this long line of school, and you see these smiles on these faces, and look at this next picture when you see this. When you think about, because you risked it in the middle of the pandemic, and I asked you to come pack food in the Numana Project to be able to send around the world. And then we get to Africa, and God reminds us powerful spiritual moment for me is when we get there and we see our name written on the boxes that you wrote that are now halfway around the world feeding kids. And then when we're in Guatemala, because of your sacrifice, and this is what we're trying to ask you to do, get out of your comfort zone a little bit, pack a little food today on your way out for a kid right here in our school. Why? Because whether it's in Guatemala or here, you got to understand food really is a universal language. Here's Guatemala's video just to give you a little reminder of what we did with those college students after we presented the gospel. We got to do stuff like this. Watch.
Hey, Simple Church, this is what's awesome about Guatemala, this trip that we're on, is that we're actually able to feed everybody. Doesn't matter where you're coming from, man, food is the universal language. It lets them know that they're loved, that they're valued, and that, again, there is a hope in Christ. Because we got to share that with them a couple minutes ago, and then meet a practical need to feed these kids. So it's an awesome time. Thanks for helping us do good around the world. All about getting on top of this Christmas, eating a little food right here in Guatemala.
Come on, y'all, give yourselves a little love because I can't do it without you. This is why it matters when you start thinking about your risk and your whether you're going to stay a little extra time to pack a food box or give a little extra money, risk it. Do I have enough money to give right now with everything going on? This is what I have seen in my life in these little moments is when you're willing to risk, God says, man, I have a reward for you. When I was growing up, there was a phrase that everyone said, particularly in churches, this is the phrase. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. And man, we heard that over and over again. But today I want to challenge you with a different thought. You may have grown up with this, you may have heard this, but I want to challenge you with a totally different way to look at this. You ready? What I am learning and what I've experienced is this, is being in God's will is dangerous. You go, what do you mean? Well, when you look in Scripture, what you will see over and over again, that Jesus wasn't just playing when he said, hey, if you cling to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to risk it, you'll experience and see things that you've never seen. As a matter of fact, our God is full of risk. He challenges you to risk. He demands risk of you. You can ask Rahab, the prostitute in the Old Testament who risked everything she had, including her family, to help Joshua to make sure that the children of Israel would be saved. You can ask David, who risked everything he had to go face a Goliath, a giant, so that he could eventually become the king. You can ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the guys who risked everything to stand up for God and get thrown into the fire. You can ask the disciples, who all of those who risked their lives so that you and I could be sitting here today. But ask Paul. You ask Paul, the one who risked more than many, many others in the New Testament. And in Acts, you will see this over and over again when Paul says things like this. What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? Because Paul was so ready. I am ready, he says, not only to be imprisoned for the gospel, but also to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul would not be persuaded by the group, they're going, wait a second, Paul, you're going into the Jewish world. This could really go bad for you. But he's not being persuaded, so they kept silent and said, let the will of the Lord be done then. Let the will of the Lord be done. Well, what was the will of the Lord? What was Paul willing to risk it for? Let me tell you something. It was far from safe and comfortable that you and I want, especially in the American Christianity. We want everything just safe and secure, predictable, and everything you see in Scripture is the direct opposite. As a matter of fact, in the 2 Corinthians, you will see Paul write things like this to the church in Corinth 5 different times, and I could go through the list. Man, he was beaten up with 39 lashes, 3 times beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. I remember pick up rocks and stoned him. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I was even open to sea all night and the whole day, thrown out at sea. And I don't know if you think that's a good thing, but I'm going to Honduras. If I was stranded out there, that ain't a good thing. Traveled many miles, gone different ways, all kinds of danger he's experienced, right? Been flooded rivers to robbers from his own people, forced to give again. All of his life into dangerous mobs, into the cities that hated him, into the death of the desert, into the storms that he would go into, men and women whose brothers in Christ had sold him out and turned on him. He lived in weariness, pain, sleepless nights, and everybody's like, I just want a good, where's that sleep number bed? I just want to sleep better. Paul said, I don't want to sleep at all. I'll do everything I have. Often I was hungry, thirsty, gone without food. I've shivered in the cold. I've not had enough clothes to even keep me warm. What's in my closet? Oh, I don't like that shirt. Oh, I want something. Oh, I need something else. And besides all this, I have the constant worry of how the churches are going to get along. And this is what Paul learned, and this is what I want you to learn. This is the one you need to write down. This is the one you need to remember. This is what needs to happen when you walk out. You ready? This is what I'm learning. In America, we risk for personal gain. You'll risk it to start a business. You'll risk it to do something else because you're going to win. You'll risk it like me. That's a good-looking girl. I'll risk it because I'm going to win. Somebody said amen. Pray for that guy right there. Just kidding. But in biblical risk, you ready? It's never about your gain. It's about others gaining. Rahab risked for others. David risked for others. The disciples risked for others. Paul risked for others. So in our culture, you need another reminder? I'll put one on the screen for you. Our military right now is in Afghanistan. You think they're risking for themselves? No, they're risking for a people that are, many of them, terrorists. Many of them have turned against us. Many of them don't believe the same things you believe. But they don't get the option. They say, you know what? I will risk for their freedom. That's what makes us great. When you look at the different nurses and doctors that are risking their life each and every day, whether you agree or don't agree, they don't get the option because they decide it ain't about me. I'll risk for someone else. You think of the firefighters. You think of the police. When you look at all of our culture, when you look at everything that's going on, these are the heroes. These are the ones that say, hey, listen, it ain't about me. This is as close as you can get to biblical risk. John 15, 13, you ready? Here it is for you. This is the very best way to love. How? Get comfortable? Don't risk anything? Stay safe? No. Put your life on the line for your friends. Do whatever you got to do to protect your friends. Do whatever you got to do to love your neighbor. It ain't about you. It never has been about you. It wasn't about Paul. It wasn't about the disciples. It wasn't about Rahab. It wasn't about David. Read the whole scripture. It certainly wasn't about Jesus. Because Jesus died to himself so that you and I could live. And he calls us to be Christians, to be Christ followers, to do the very same thing. Now, I struggle with it just like you. So 14 years ago, in the midst of my own selfishness, in the midst of my own struggle, I decided to risk. Risk leaving the comfort of the traditional church to start something called the simple church. The reason you're sitting here, the reason this all is here is because at some point, I listened to God enough to go, you know what, just let it all go. I remember looking at Angie at one point and going, we could lose everything, Angie. This could be it. And she says, I'm with you. I was with you in Paras de la Fuente, and I am with you right here in Bossier, Shreveport. Whatever we got to do. And we went into a theater meeting. Here's a picture actually from that moment as I prayed over everybody on one little screen in one theater, and I said, hey, I want to remember this, and I want you to remember this one catchphrase, Simple Church, 14 years ago that still applies today, and it covers everything from raising money to Haiti to packing food out in the hall to vaccinations to masks, all the stuff that everybody's like, I can't believe. Listen, get your pen and paper out because this is the Jesus principle. You ready? Here it is. It's not about you. Now, why do I say that? Because in a culture that says it's all about you, Jesus says, no. I called you to die. I called you to put others first. I called you to sacrifice. I called you to risk it. When the whole world says, that's crazy, you're out of your mind, I don't have to do any of that, Jesus says, look at my life, look at my followers, read the story. In that moment, I was asking everyone at the beginning of the Simple Church, be willing to die, be willing to sacrifice, be willing to give, because it won't be about us. It'll be for people like Bob. Who's Bob, Justin? Well, let me put the picture on the screen for you. This is Bob at Child Dedication. Here in Simple Church, dedicating his kids, grandkids, excuse me. And Bob's smile, I want you to understand something. I didn't know Bob personally. We weren't friends. We didn't hang out. But when I found out that Bob had died of COVID in the last 2 weeks, it rocked me. Because Bob, just a few weeks ago, was dedicating his grandkids. And Bob was a person that when I saw in the halls, man, his face lit up. He was full of joy. He was in with Simple Church. He was all about it. And I'm thinking, man, I cannot believe this. For the first time since the pandemic, I cried on my porch with my wife. Because Bob's death was different. And what I want you to know is 14 years ago, I was sacrificing, saying, it ain't about me. It's not about us, Angie. We got to risk it. And I'm trying to get the leaders, the teams to all figure all that out. Be willing to risk. Do whatever we got to do. And this is the thing that hit me. Is when on Facebook, Bob's son posted a picture of Bob being baptized. Read it. Remember it. Because we risked. Because you risked. Those that give your time, your money, when you go, man, does it matter? Let me tell you something, it matters. When you're at the end of your life, and you're standing before God and say, man, cling to your life, cling to your money, cling to your resources, cling to what you want. Do what you want. It's America. And God says, no, 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 no. If you're going to follow me, be willing to give it all. Be willing to die, because it gave a family comfort to know that Bob passing from this earth was not the last time they'll see him, because of people like you. So when I think of Ronaldson, when I think of Bob, and I think about my kids in Haiti and all these, I'm going, all right, God, I'm going, hey, listen, we risked it, God. I trust you. I don't understand it. It don't make sense to me. But when I risk it again, I had in my notes a cuss word there, and I had to edit that before I put it out here. But let me just fill it in for you. Blank, yeah, I would. Or heaven, yeah, I would. Would I risk it now? And everybody says, I don't know what's going to go on. Listen, man, if it all goes away, dude, I have never been so blessed and so thankful. I'm pushing all the chips in again. Because you know why? We ain't winning on this side. You may not be, it may be more challenging, but I don't want to be anywhere else than the center of God's will, doing everything we can. And so that's why when we loaded up all the equipment from Haiti and I looked at my cousin in our life group that night, I said, dude, are you willing to drive down to Miami to deliver all this stuff to these people in Haiti? He's like, man, I'll do that. Because some of you have to go, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to risk. I'm willing to give my time, my energy, my resources. And here's the thing. This is what I'm ending with. We're almost done. What's God asking you to risk? And then think about this. Who's it for? Is it a grandkid? Is it for a guy like Bob? Because let me tell you something. Bob's family, you might be in this service. I'm telling you, he impacted my life. You've impacted my life. And I'd do it all over again just for Bob. Is the risk that you're contemplating it is for you, or is it for others? I mean, this is the whole thing. What is God asking you? Is the risk for you, or is it for other people? Revelation 22:12. Listen, I'm coming soon. This is Jesus. Jesus is coming. This is it. It's the end. We're going to get into that. I'm going to do a message on the end times and, for example, the vaccination being the mark of the beast. Would you stop? Would you stop? Because let me explain one thing before I go on, and I have to do this. I'm already over time, but I got to do this. If you read the book, you will understand that the mark of the beast can only be because you deny Christ. So I got a vaccination. When they asked me, they didn't say, now, do you deny Christ before I inject you with this shot? Yes. No, they didn't. Read it. This is my whole point. As a believer, listen, he is coming soon, but he promises to bring rewards, risk, rewards with me. How? Because I'll repay everyone for what they've done. So forget politics. Forget religion that you grew up with and look to Jesus. And he will always challenge you to die to self, to put others first, to go all in, not for you, but for others. No risk, no reward. Now I got to show you a video because I got to get out of here. I'm already way over. They're going to be mad at me. They don't even get a break. So forgive me. We'll delay the pre-show a couple minutes so everybody can get a break. I pulled a video just because I want you to see it, and then I'm going to pray for you. What does it look like in our culture? How does it apply to where we are today? This is just one snapshot into what risking it looks like and the reward that is attached. Watch.
For ICU nurse Caitlin Obrock, the last year has been a blur. She has treated hundreds of COVID patients here at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. But she says one patient stands above.
From the very beginning, Monique was special to me.
28-year-old Monique Jones came to the hospital deathly ill from COVID and 6 months pregnant.
The baby was priority over her. She would do anything for her baby.
Eventually, Monique had to be intubated, but Caitlin still talked to her, prayed over her countless hours. And when doctors decided the only hope for mother and child was an emergency C-section, Caitlin made a promise.
And I was like, if Monique makes it, we're going to throw her the biggest baby shower there is to have.
A promise she joyfully kept when Zamira arrived. All 2 pounds, 5 ounces of her.
I just started crying as soon as I saw everything. Like, this couldn't be for me.
Caitlin raised thousands of dollars from friends, family, and coworkers. And even though her favorite patients are now out of the hospital,
oh my God,
Caitlin still visits regularly.
You get so big.
Has to. She's the godmother and Monique's new best friend.
I never really felt that special to somebody. I really needed somebody like her.
It's important, especially at the end of this god-awful week.
It's not a matter of politics. It's just a matter of loving people. It's what we need. The days that I feel like I can't go anymore, through those hard days when I don't think my patient's gonna make it, that I just know there's another Monique that needs us.
And there's your battle cry, America. Steve Hartman, CBS News, on the road.
Can you give an applause for every doctor, nurse, people that are risking it for us? Yes. Would you pray with me? God, as I watch these stories, she says it. It's about loving people. Your word is clear. It is about death to self. It's not clinging to comfort. It is about Jesus. I surrender to you, and I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do, even when it doesn't make sense. And I won't do it for my gain. I will do it for others. God, I pray that in this moment, you would help us to know what that is. If someone needs to surrender their life to you today, I pray, God, it wouldn't be religion, it wouldn't be church that they do that, but it would be to you and you alone. And as they follow you and as they surrender to you, God, you would continue to challenge us to get uncomfortable, to risk it, and then you will reward us. God, I've looked at my life and I have been living the best possible life, and I thank you for that, and I praise you for that. And I ask you, God, to help me to be more uncomfortable, to keep pushing me to uncomfortable, not for my sake or not for my family, but for the sake of your gospel, for the sake of your story. And I pray that we'd have a church that's willing to do that, that would change this world as a result. Help us, Jesus, to do it. Help us, God, to follow you. Help someone today to say, man, this is my day. Come into my life and change me and help me to follow you no matter what it costs. In Jesus' name we pray.